heart rate variability assessment, and biofeedback, a comprehensive guide for clinical practice. Section 1. Introduction to HRV assessment and its critical role in biofeedback. Heart rate variability, HRV, assessment forms the cornerstone of effective HRV biofeedback training. Before we can help clients improve their autonomic regulation through biofeedback, we must first accurately measure and understand their current cardiovascular functioning. This assessment process is far from simple. It requires careful attention to multiple factors that can influence measurements and their interpretation. The fundamental purpose of HRV assessment and biofeedback is threefold. First, to establish accurate baseline measurements that will guide training protocols. Second, to monitor progress during training. And third, to document outcomes. However, these measurements are only meaningful when obtained under strictly controlled conditions. One of the most critical factors, and one that clinicians sometimes overlook, is breathing rate. Clients must breathe at their normal rates during assessment periods for the measurements to be valid. When clients breathe at rates significantly different from their typical patterns, especially during slow-paced breathing exercises, the resulting HRV measurements cannot be meaningfully compared to normative data. There are two primary methods for measuring these vital heart rhythm patterns: electrocardiography, ECG, and photoplethysmography, PPG. ECG directly measures the heart's electrical activity, specifically tracking the R spike that marks each heartbeat. PPG, in contrast, measures the blood volume pulse, BVP, signal, tracking the wave of blood as it travels through the arterial system. While both methods can provide valuable information, they aren't interchangeable under all conditions. Understanding the relationship between these measurement methods becomes particularly important when we consider their applications in different contexts. While ECG provides true heart rate variability, HRV, measurements, PPG gives us pulse rate variability, PRV. These measurements are highly correlated when a client is at rest, but their relationship becomes more complex during activities like paced breathing or when a client changes position. These differences emerge because sympathetic nervous system activation can alter blood vessel stiffness and affect pulse transit time, the duration it takes for the blood pressure wave to travel through the arteries. Section 2. Brief versus 24-hour monitoring. Understanding the clinical implications. The duration of HRV monitoring represents a critical decision point in clinical assessment. While 24-hour recordings have long been considered the gold standard for health risk stratification, recent research has revealed that even brief measurements, typically around 5 minutes, can provide valuable predictive information about mortality risk. This development has significant implications for clinical practice, as it allows for more flexible assessment options while maintaining clinical validity. However, the relationship between brief and 24-hour measurements is complex and requires careful understanding. Brief measurements consistently tend to underestimate time domain values compared to 24-hour recordings. This systematic difference occurs because shorter monitoring periods cannot capture the full range of physiological variations that occur throughout a day. For instance, a 5-minute recording might miss the influence of circadian rhythms, core body temperature fluctuations, or variations in metabolic activity, all of which contribute to the fuller picture provided by 24-hour monitoring. When conducting brief measurements, clinicians must pay particular attention to standardization. The position of the client, the time of day, the client's recent physical activity, and even their emotional state can significantly impact results. This standardization becomes especially critical when comparing measurements across sessions or against normative data. For instance, measurements taken while a client is sitting upright cannot be meaningfully compared to norms established from supine recordings. Gender and age considerations weave another layer of complexity into the interpretation of brief measurements. Research has consistently shown that HRV parameters vary significantly across age groups and between genders. Women typically show higher mean heart rates and lower SDNN and SDNN index values, especially in 24-hour studies, compared to men. They also tend to show lower total, VLF, and LF power, but greater HF power. These gender-specific patterns persist even when controlling for other factors, suggesting fundamental physiological differences that must be considered in assessment. The clinical decision between brief and 24-hour monitoring emerges from a careful consideration of multiple interconnected factors. For clients with elevated cardiovascular risk, the comprehensive information provided by 24-hour monitoring may be essential for proper risk stratification. The extended recording period allows for the detection of slower rhythms and patterns that might indicate autonomic dysfunction or other health concerns. However, for routine biofeedback training and progress monitoring, carefully standardized brief measurements can provide sufficient information to guide intervention. Breathing patterns play a particularly crucial role in brief measurements. During normal breathing, most spectral power typically falls within the high-frequency band. When clients engage in slow-paced breathing, especially during biofeedback training, this pattern shifts dramatically, with power concentrating in the low-frequency band. While this shift is expected and even desired during training, it renders the measurements inappropriate for comparison with normative data or baseline assessments. The timing of measurements weaves another thread into this complex tapestry. Morning measurements often differ significantly from those taken in the afternoon or evening due to natural circadian variations in autonomic function. For clinical assessment, maintaining consistency in the timing of measurements across sessions becomes crucial. This standardization helps ensure that observed changes reflect genuine physiological adaptation rather than normal daily variations. Best clinical practice in brief measurements emerges from a foundation of careful standardization and documentation. Clinicians should maintain consistent measurement conditions across sessions while educating clients about factors that can influence their readings. Regular baseline measurements establish stability, while careful equipment calibration ensures accuracy. Throughout this process, detailed documentation of all measurement conditions provides the context necessary for meaningful interpretation. Section 3. The validity of ultra-short-term measurements, critical considerations for clinical practice. The explosive growth of wearable technology has catalyzed intense interest in ultra-short-term, UST, HRV measurements, those lasting less than 5 minutes. This surge of interest stems from both consumer demand and clinical desire for quick, convenient assessment methods. However, the scientific validation of these brief measurements requires careful scrutiny, particularly as they become increasingly prevalent in clinical practice. The validation of UST measurements presents unique methodological challenges that many early studies failed to address adequately. A common pitfall in early research was the reliance on simple correlation coefficients to establish equivalence between UST and standard 5-minute measurements. This approach, while seemingly logical, overlooks a fundamental statistical principle. Correlation does not imply equality. Two measurements can be highly correlated while still differing systematically in their absolute values, leading to potentially misleading clinical interpretations. The proper validation of UST measurements demands a more rigorous methodological approach. First, researchers must establish a priori the maximum acceptable difference between UST and 300-second values. This step is crucial as it forces explicit consideration of what constitutes a clinically meaningful difference. Without this predetermined threshold, it becomes impossible to evaluate whether observed differences are practically significant, regardless of their statistical significance. Recent research has illuminated the varying minimum recording periods required for different HRV metrics. For instance, studies suggest that heart rate measurement may require as little as 10 seconds, while the RMSSD might need 30 seconds, and the SDNN could demand up to 240 seconds for reliable estimation. However, these minimum periods aren't universal. They can vary significantly based on factors such as age, health status, and measurement conditions. The complexity of UST validation becomes particularly apparent when we consider the interaction between different HRV metrics and recording duration. Time domain measures like RMSSD tend to show greater stability over shorter periods compared to frequency domain measures. This difference stems from the mathematical properties of these metrics. Frequency domain calculations inherently require longer sampling periods to capture slower oscillations accurately. Population characteristics significantly influence the reliability of UST measurements. What works for young, healthy adults might not apply to older individuals or those with cardiovascular conditions. For instance, Studies have shown that individuals with reduced HRV might require longer recording periods to obtain stable measurements, as their smaller beat-to-beat variations are more susceptible to random fluctuations over very short time periods. The method of data collection also impacts UST validity. ECG-derived measurements typically show greater stability over short periods compared to PPG-based measurements, particularly during movement or position changes. This difference stems from the physiological delay between electrical heart activity and peripheral pulse detection, as well as the greater susceptibility of PPG signals to motion artifacts. Clinical implementation of UST measurements requires careful consideration of their limitations. While these brief measurements might serve well for trend monitoring or rough screening purposes, they shouldn't replace standard 5-minute or 24-hour recordings for diagnostic decisions or detailed clinical assessment. The convenience of UST measurements must be weighed against their reduced reliability and the potential loss of important physiological information. Research continues to refine our understanding of UST measurement validity. The most robust studies employ multiple statistical approaches, including Bland-Altman plots with predefined limits of agreement, equality tests, and careful consideration of measurement bias. This comprehensive approach helps establish not just correlation, but true equivalence between UST and longer measurements. Section 4. 24-hour monitoring and slower rhythms. Understanding the full picture of autonomic function. 24-hour monitoring reveals a fascinating and complex landscape of physiological rhythms that shorter recordings simply cannot capture. This extended monitoring period unveils the intricate dance between multiple biological systems, including circadian rhythms, core body temperature fluctuations, metabolic cycles, and the dynamic interplay between parasympathetic and sympathetic nervous system activity. Understanding these slower rhythms provides crucial insights into a patient's overall cardiovascular health and autonomic function. The power of 24-hour monitoring becomes strikingly evident when we examine the dramatic differences between day and night values. Consider the SDNN measurement, which can vary by as much as 26 milliseconds between daytime and nighttime periods. This variation isn't merely a statistical curiosity. It reflects the natural ebb and flow of autonomic nervous system activity throughout the day and provides valuable information about a patient's cardiovascular adaptability and overall health status. The ultra-low frequency, ULF, band, which can only be measured through 24-hour monitoring, offers unique insights into very slow biological processes. These rhythms, occurring at frequencies below 0.003 Hz, reflect fundamental physiological processes like circadian rhythms, core body temperature regulation, and metabolic functions. The ULF band also captures the influence of the renin-angiotensin system and may reflect both parasympathetic and sympathetic nervous system contributions to long-term regulation. Very low frequency, VLF, power, measured in the 0.003 to 0.04 Hz range, provides another crucial window into autonomic function that becomes fully apparent only through extended monitoring. VLF power has emerged as a particularly strong predictor of adverse outcomes, with reduced VLF power associated with increased mortality risk. This connection underscores the importance of capturing these slower rhythms through 24-hour monitoring, especially for clients with elevated cardiovascular risk. The comprehensive nature of 24-hour monitoring extends beyond just capturing slower rhythms. It also provides a more complete picture of autonomic function across different activities and states. During sleep, for instance, we typically observe increased parasympathetic activity and reduced sympathetic influence, resulting in higher HRV values. This natural nocturnal pattern provides valuable information about autonomic flexibility and recovery capacity that can't be assessed through brief daytime measurements alone. Services like the HeartMath Institute's Autonomic Assessment Report have developed sophisticated methods for analyzing 24-hour data. These analyses can detect patterns and anomalies that might be missed in clinical settings, providing a more comprehensive evaluation of autonomic function. The ability to artifact and analyze extended recordings systematically has revolutionized our understanding of HRV's clinical significance. Age-related norms for 24-hour monitoring reveal important patterns that inform clinical interpretation. Research has shown that several HRV time domain indices decline with age, but this decline isn't uniform across all metrics. Some measurements show a U-shaped pattern with aging, decreasing from ages 40 to 60 and then increasing after age 70. Understanding these age-related patterns is crucial for proper clinical interpretation and risk assessment. Gender differences also become more apparent in 24-hour monitoring. Before age 30, female subjects typically show lower HRV measurements than their male counterparts. However, this gender difference tends to vanish after age 50, suggesting complex interactions between age, gender, and autonomic function that can only be fully appreciated through extended monitoring. Section 5. Interpreting HRV measurements, the art and science of clinical assessment. The interpretation of HRV measurements represents a complex intersection of scientific understanding and clinical judgment. Like pieces of a puzzle, multiple contextual factors must be carefully considered to form a complete and accurate picture of a client's autonomic function. This interpretive process requires a deep understanding of both measurement context and client characteristics, as well as their intricate interactions. The measurement context itself encompasses numerous variables that can significantly influence HRV readings. The monitoring period length serves as a fundamental consideration. Brief measurements can dramatically underestimate HRV compared to 24-hour indices. The detection method chosen, whether ECG or PPG, introduces its own set of considerations. While these methods correlate well under resting conditions, with errors typically less than 6% for most HRV measures, their relationship becomes more complex during activities like standing or slow-paced breathing. The physical environment and conditions during measurement play crucial roles in interpretation. Position changes can significantly affect readings. Supine versus sitting measurements often yield different results due to the influence of gravity on blood distribution and baroreceptor activity. Even the relationship between the client and clinical staff can impact measurements through its effect on emotional state and comfort level. These seemingly subtle factors can produce meaningful variations in HRV readings. Client characteristics form another critical dimension of interpretation. Age emerges as a primary consideration, with HRV typically showing a general decline across the lifespan. However, this decline isn't uniform across all metrics. Research by Almeida Santos and colleagues, studying 1,743 subjects aged 40 to 100 years, revealed a fascinating pattern. While the SDNN, STAN, and SDNN index showed linear declines with age, the RMSSD and PNN50 displayed a U-shaped pattern, decreasing from 40 to 60 years, but then increasing after age 70. Gender differences introduce another layer of complexity to interpretation. A comprehensive meta-analysis of 296,247 healthy participants examining 50 HRV measures revealed distinct patterns between men and women. Women typically show higher mean heart rates, but lower SDNN and SDNN index values, especially in 24-hour studies. They also demonstrate lower total power, VLF, and LF power, but greater HF power. These gender-specific patterns suggest fundamental differences in autonomic regulation that must be considered in clinical interpretation. Health status significantly influences HRV measurements. Cardiovascular disorders, conditions involving autonomic dysregulation like anxiety and depression, and respiratory conditions such as asthma typically associate with reduced HRV. The presence of multiple health conditions can create complex interactions that require careful consideration in interpretation. Additionally, medication effects must be carefully evaluated. Different medications, even within the same class, can produce varying effects on HRV measurements. Breathing patterns emerge as a crucial factor in HRV interpretation. When clients breathe at typical rates, most signal power should fall within the high-frequency band. However, slow-paced breathing can dramatically increase time domain measurements and fundamentally alter the meaning of frequency domain calculations. This becomes particularly important in biofeedback contexts, where breathing rate manipulation is often part of the intervention strategy. Section 6. HRV time domain and frequency domain norms, essential guidelines for clinical assessment. Understanding normative values forms the foundation of meaningful HRV interpretation in clinical practice. These norms, however, aren't simple universal standards. They represent complex patterns that vary significantly based on measurement duration, population characteristics, and recording conditions. This complexity requires clinicians to develop a nuanced understanding of how to select and apply appropriate normative data in their practice. The predictive power of HRV measurements, particularly for mortality risk, emerges from extensive research spanning decades. The groundbreaking work of Klieger and colleagues in 1987 demonstrated that 24-hour VLF and LF power could predict mortality years after myocardial infarction. The Task Force report of 1996 further refined this understanding by establishing specific cutoff points for heart attack risk using 24-hour SDNN measurements. These findings have stood the test of time and continue to guide clinical risk assessment. Short-term norms require particularly careful consideration due to their sensitivity to measurement conditions. Noonan and colleagues' comprehensive review of normative data from short-term HRV studies, published after the task force report, analyzed data from 44 studies involving 21,438 healthy adult participants. Their findings revealed significant variations based on whether breathing was free or paced, the participant's sex, and the method of spectral power analysis used. For instance, the mean short-term SDNN value for healthy adults was found to be 50 milliseconds, while athletes showed higher values around 70 milliseconds. Age-related norms demonstrate distinct patterns that must inform clinical interpretation. Lomitani's research with 260 healthy participants aged 10 to 99 years revealed that several HRV time domain indices decline with age. Particularly noteworthy was the finding that after age 65, subjects typically fell below cutoffs associated with increased mortality risk. The gender influence on these patterns adds another layer of complexity. Before age 30, female subjects showed lower HRV measurements than males, but this difference disappeared after age 50. Athletic status introduces its own considerations in normative comparison. Burkhoff's study of 145 elite track and field athletes before the 2004 USA Olympic trials established distinct normative ranges for this high-performance population. These norms typically show higher values across most HRV parameters compared to the general population, reflecting the enhanced autonomic regulation associated with high-level athletic training. The comparison of client data to appropriate norms requires careful attention to methodological consistency. Valid conclusions can only be drawn when comparing measurements taken under identical conditions, including participant characteristics, recording method, position, tasks performed, and breathing rates. This requirement for methodological consistency cannot be overstated. Even small variations in measurement conditions can render normative comparisons invalid. Children's norms present their own unique patterns and considerations. Sapala's research with 465 children ages 6 to 8 established specific percentile ranges for 5-minute recordings, providing essential reference points for pediatric assessment. These norms reflect the generally higher HRV values seen in children compared to adults, along with distinct patterns of age-related change during development. The Institute of HeartMath's autonomic assessment reports provide a sophisticated approach to analyzing 24-hour recordings using age-related norms. These reports evaluate both time domain and normalized frequency domain measurements against age-specific reference values, offering a comprehensive view of autonomic function. This approach proves particularly valuable in identifying subtle deviations from expected patterns that might indicate emerging health concerns. Section 7. HRV values during baselines and biofeedback, critical guidelines for clinical practice. The relationship between baseline HRV measurements and biofeedback training represents a crucial aspect of clinical practice. Baseline measurements serve multiple essential functions. They establish initial status, guide training protocols, and provide reference points for assessing progress. However, obtaining meaningful baseline measurements requires careful attention to multiple factors that can influence HRV values. Baseline measurement protocols must be carefully standardized to yield meaningful results. A typical baseline recording should last 3 to 5 minutes, during which the client rests without paced breathing or feedback. During these baseline periods, the distribution of power across frequency bands serves as a key indicator of autonomic function. Under normal conditions, most signal power should fall within the high frequency band, 0.15 to 0.40 Hz, rather than the low frequency band, 0.04 to 0.15 Hz, reflecting typical breathing patterns. The timing and conditions of baseline measurements require careful consideration. Client distraction during post-session baselines becomes particularly important to prevent the continuation of paced breathing patterns from the training period. As Dr. Richard Gewirtz emphasizes, having clients engage in activities like reading or watching videos during post-baselines helps ensure they return to their natural breathing patterns, yielding more accurate comparative measurements. The relationship between pre-session and post-session baseline values provides crucial information about training progress. When comparing these measurements, clinicians should look for specific patterns of change. Increases in time domain measures, particularly HR max HR min and the RMSSD, suggest improved autonomic regulation. Similarly, increases in HF power and total power, VLF plus LF plus HF, indicate enhanced vagal tone. However, increased LF power should only appear when breathing has slowed below 8 breaths per minute. During actual HRV biofeedback training, the patterns of physiological change follow distinct trajectories. Respiratory sinus arrhythmia, RSA, typically shows dramatic increases when clients breathe at their resonance frequency, potentially demonstrating a 4 to 10-fold increase compared to resting baseline. This immediate exercise of the baroreflex system occurs without initially changing vagal tone or blood pressure regulation. Those more fundamental changes require weeks of consistent practice. The presence of increased very low frequency, VLF, power during training sessions requires careful interpretation. While moderate VLF power is normal and healthy during 24-hour monitoring, elevated VLF during training sessions often serves as a red flag, similar to increased skin conductance or decreased finger temperature. Higher VLF power during training may signal anxiety, excessive effort, or vagal withdrawal, suggesting the need for adjustments in the training approach. Time domain metrics during training sessions typically follow predictable patterns when training proceeds effectively. Measurements like PNN50, RMSSD, and SDNN should increase from baseline to training trials, often showing initial increases during the first minutes of training before stabilizing. If these values decline or show erratic fluctuations across a session, this suggests the need for troubleshooting the training approach. The validity of HRV measurements obtained through smartphone apps deserves particular attention. Many consumer devices fail to adequately control for artifacts, potentially yielding invalid measurements of both time domain and frequency domain parameters. Clinicians must exercise caution when incorporating data from these devices into their assessment process, particularly for clinical decision-making. Section 8. Critical limitations of wearable HRV devices, integration with clinical best practices. The proliferation of wearable devices promising HRV measurement capabilities creates an interesting intersection with our earlier discussions of measurement validity and clinical protocols. As we explored in our examination of ultra-short-term measurements, even carefully controlled brief recordings require specific conditions and validation procedures to yield meaningful results. Wearable devices typically fail to meet these basic requirements while introducing additional sources of error. Recall our earlier discussion of proper baseline measurements. We emphasized the need for 3 to 5 minutes of controlled recording under standardized conditions, with normal breathing rates and careful attention to posture and movement. Wearable devices, in contrast, typically capture ultra-short measurements opportunistically, without controlling for any of these crucial variables. This connects directly to our earlier analysis of measurement context, where we identified breathing patterns, position, and movement as critical factors affecting HRV measurements. The artifact handling issue becomes particularly concerning when we consider our previous discussion of the importance of proper data cleaning in HRV analysis. In our examination of clinical protocols, we emphasized how even a single abnormal beat can significantly distort time domain measurements. Wearable devices typically lack the sophisticated artifact correction capabilities we discussed as essential for clinical measurement. This limitation becomes especially problematic when we consider our earlier analysis of ectopic beats and their impact on HRV calculations. Our previous examination of PPG versus ECG measurements gains new relevance when considering wearable devices. While we noted that PPG measurements could approach ECG accuracy under ideal, controlled conditions, wearable devices typically operate far from these ideal conditions. The limitations we discussed regarding PPG measurements during movement or position changes become amplified in the context of continuous wearable monitoring, where sensor contact quality and motion artifacts present constant challenges. The implications for biofeedback training become particularly significant. Earlier, we discussed how baseline measurements serve as crucial reference points for tracking progress during training. Wearable device measurements, with their inherent variability and lack of standardization, cannot reliably serve this purpose. The wearable market is in its Wild West stage. Products often fail to control artifacts properly or at all. The accuracy of time domain measurements, such as the RMSSD, is unknown and does not have to pass FDA scrutiny. The dramatic overestimation of HRV values, often seen in wearable devices, such as RMSSD readings that are 100 milliseconds too high, can mask real training effects or create false impressions of progress. Consumers' best choice is to use a gold standard chest strap, such as the Polar H10, and then export their data to packages like QBOs for artifacting and HRV analysis. For clinical practice, this understanding should inform how we interact with clients who use wearable devices. Rather than dismissing their interest in self-monitoring, we can use this as an opportunity to educate them about the principles of valid HRV measurement we've discussed throughout this course. When clients bring in data from their wearable devices, we can help them understand why controlled conditions matter, how breathing patterns influence HRV, and why standardized measurement protocols yield different results from their devices. This education process helps bridge the gap between consumer technology and clinical practice while reinforcing the importance of proper measurement techniques. The relationship between wearable measurements and clinical norms deserves particular attention. When a consumer device reports values that deviate significantly from established norms, like an RMSSD of 140 milliseconds when typical values rarely exceed 40 to 50 milliseconds, this presents an opportunity to discuss the importance of measurement context and standardization. These discussions can help clients understand why their wearable readings aren't directly comparable to clinical measurements and why controlled clinical assessments remain essential for accurate health monitoring. By integrating our understanding of wearable limitations with fundamental principles of HRV measurement, we can guide clients toward more meaningful interpretation of their self-monitoring data while maintaining the rigorous standards necessary for clinical practice. This balanced approach acknowledges the growing role of consumer technology in health monitoring while preserving the integrity of clinical assessment protocols. Section 9, Training Outcomes and Long-Term Monitoring, Evaluating Success and Ensuring Progress. Success in HRV biofeedback training manifests through a complex array of physiological changes that require systematic monitoring and evaluation. Understanding these changes and how to measure them effectively becomes crucial for documenting clinical outcomes and adjusting training protocols as needed. The assessment of training outcomes operates across multiple time scales, from immediate session-by-session changes to long-term adaptations visible in 24-hour monitoring. The immediate effects of successful HRV biofeedback training typically appear first in within-session measurements. During normal breathing periods, we expect to see progressive increases in high-frequency power across pre-training baselines as sessions advance. This represents improved autonomic regulation and enhanced vagal tone. However, during actual biofeedback training with paced breathing, power typically concentrates in the low-frequency range, reflecting the impact of breathing at resonance frequency. A deeper understanding of training success emerges from comparing baseline measurements across sessions. Successful training typically shows a pattern of increasing baseline HRV values, particularly in time domain measurements like RMSSD and SDNN. This improvement in baseline function represents a fundamental shift in autonomic regulation, suggesting that the training effects are generalizing beyond the immediate practice context. 24-hour monitoring provides the most comprehensive view of training outcomes and has emerged as the gold standard for evaluating long-term success. Effective HRV biofeedback training should result in increased time domain indices and greater power across all frequency bands during extended monitoring. The role of very low frequency, VLF, power becomes particularly interesting in this context. While it should remain low during training sessions, moderate to high VLF power during 24-hour monitoring reflects healthy autonomic function. Autonomic changes resulting from successful training often extend beyond HRV measurements themselves. Research by Zaire and colleagues demonstrated that 4 30-minute HRVB training sessions could produce significant changes in other autonomic markers. They observed decreases in skin conductance level from 5.8 microsiemens to 2.3 microsiemens and increases in hand temperature from 90.2 degrees Fahrenheit to 93.9 degrees Fahrenheit, 32.3 degrees Celsius to 34.4 degrees Celsius, between the first and fourth sessions. These changes suggest broader improvements in autonomic regulation. The assessment of frequency domain changes across training sessions reveals what Dr. Ina Kazan calls the HRV biofeedback koan. We train clients in the low frequency range to ultimately increase high frequency power at baseline. This apparent paradox resolves when we understand that the practice of slow-paced breathing serves as a form of exercise for the autonomic nervous system, leading to improved regulation even when breathing at normal rates. Long-term success in HRV biofeedback training often manifests through improvements in clinical symptoms and daily function. Clients may report better stress management, improved sleep quality, reduced anxiety, and enhanced emotional regulation. These subjective improvements should be systematically documented alongside the physiological measurements to provide a complete picture of training outcomes. The sustainability of training effects requires ongoing assessment even after the initial training goals have been met. Regular maintenance checks using standardized assessment protocols help ensure that improvements persist and can identify any need for booster sessions. This long-term monitoring approach allows for early detection of any regression in gains and supports sustained improvement in autonomic function. Ultimately, the evaluation of training outcomes must consider both the statistical significance of measured changes and their clinical significance for the individual client. While numerical improvements in HRV parameters provide objective evidence of change, these must be interpreted within the context of the client's initial presentation, training goals, and overall health status. This comprehensive approach to outcome assessment ensures that training success is measured not just in terms of physiological changes, but in meaningful improvements in the client's quality of life. Conclusion: the integration of science and clinical practice in HRV assessment. The field of HRV assessment and interpretation stands at a critical junction between rigorous scientific measurement and practical clinical application. Throughout our examination of measurement protocols, normative standards, and clinical best practices, several fundamental themes have emerged that shape effective clinical practice in HRV biofeedback and assessment. The foundation of effective HRV assessment lies in understanding the delicate interplay between measurement conditions and physiological reality. We've seen how factors as subtle as breathing patterns or as obvious as measurement duration can profoundly influence our results. This understanding must inform every aspect of clinical practice, from the initial baseline measurements through ongoing training assessments to final outcome evaluation. The emergence of new technology, particularly consumer wearables, has both complicated and enriched our field. While these devices present challenges in terms of measurement accuracy and data interpretation, they also create opportunities for broader engagement with clients and enhanced understanding of autonomic function in daily life. The key lies in maintaining rigorous clinical standards while thoughtfully incorporating new technological capabilities into our practice. The critical importance of standardization in measurement protocols cannot be overstated. Whether conducting brief measurements or 24-hour monitoring, the validity of our assessments depends on careful attention to measurement conditions, proper artifact handling, and appropriate normative comparisons. This standardization becomes particularly crucial when evaluating training progress or comparing results across sessions or between clients. The relationship between breathing patterns and HRV measurements emerges as a central consideration in both assessment and training. The fundamental requirement that clients breathe at normal rates for valid measurements, combined with the powerful effects of respiratory manipulation during training, creates a complex dynamic that must be carefully managed in clinical practice. Understanding this relationship helps us accurately interpret baseline measurements while effectively guiding training interventions. Age, gender, and fitness-related norms provide essential context for interpreting individual results, but these norms only have meaning when measurements are conducted under matching conditions. This principle extends beyond simple numerical comparisons to inform our understanding of individual variation and clinical significance. The careful application of appropriate norms helps us distinguish between meaningful changes and normal variation, guiding clinical decision-making and training protocols. Looking to the future, the field of HRV assessment continues to evolve, driven by advances in both technology and understanding. While we embrace these advances, the fundamental principles of careful measurement, appropriate normative comparison, and attention to individual variation remain essential. Our ability to effectively help clients improve their autonomic regulation depends on maintaining these high standards while adapting to new developments in the field. Ultimately, the successful integration of HRV assessment into clinical practice requires a balanced approach that combines technical expertise with clinical wisdom. By maintaining high standards for measurement while remaining sensitive to individual client needs and circumstances, we can effectively use HRV assessment to guide and evaluate interventions, leading to improved outcomes for our clients. This comprehensive approach to HRV assessment, grounded in scientific rigor yet flexible enough to accommodate individual variation and emerging technology, provides the foundation for effective clinical practice in HRV biofeedback and related fields. As we continue to develop our understanding and capabilities, this foundation will support increasingly sophisticated and effective interventions to improve autonomic regulation and overall health.